from the heart of Broadway. Hey, Billy's back.
Billy!
That's my special intro that I planned out.
Totally planned. Completely planned?
Completely not off the cuff. And then, oh, I'm so loud. Live mic check. Okay, that looks so much better in rehearsal. Anyway, it's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. I wanted to do a special intro for the show. I could not think of one. So I instead went to what I always go to whenever I get scared, Billy.
No. But now he's here to hear it.
He is. And it is Mr. 100, the Five-Star Man, and we got a special show for you tonight, all October long. But before we do that, I do want to say that Billy did leave us months back. Months back. I mean, almost a year, honestly.
It hasn't been that long.
It was March?
Yeah, 7 months.
7 months? That's a long
time.
Felt
like a year.
Yeah. But Billy's back now, and we're so happy to have him back here. And I want to extend to you, Billy. I'm so glad to have you back. It's so nice to have you back there listening to us once again. That guy we got to replace you, Ethan, couldn't lace up your boots. Are you wearing boots? No.
Well, he can't lace those up either.
Yeah. He's got laces.
He can't lace anything up, and that's the tooth. Anyway, it's like I said, Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, we said this a couple weeks ago that we were going to do a special episode. It was one episode.
Yeah, it was originally going to be because we went on that Magneto tear.
Yes. And we said we were going to do next week our favorite villains.
Mm-hmm.
Not our best villains. You mentioned that before the show, and I think that's important to point out. Yeah. Not the best, because best is subjective, as is favorite, but favorite's easier to justify.
But yeah, whenever someone starts complaining, like, how could you not put, insert their favorite, in your best villains list?
There was a villain in issue 42 of the run no one watched.
How come no one said Wrath? He was the best anti-Batman.
Who's Wrath?
He was a former disgraced GCPD officer who got his hands on some military-grade armor and tech and decided that he agreed with Batman, but he disagreed that Batman let people live. So he's basically Punisher.
Punisher? Okay. Yeah. Well, in that vein, you can probably guess what we're doing here. We got Terrifying Tanner Thursdays over on Thursday. On Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, we're doing our favorite villains all month long. You have the privilege and honor, and we have the privilege and honor of you listening, of hearing tonight's episode, which is about...
villains. Dang it. Comics.
Comics.
Got it.
And of course, Asa, you can't mention villains and comics without thinking of our sponsor, Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri, where you can catch up on the latest and greatest comics or just stay and talk to the humble and nice staff about your favorite comics while enjoying a fantastic cup of coffee.
That genuinely sounds like you're reading something off, but you were dead eye contact with me the entire time.
And it sounds like a pitch, but it's honest and true. Villainous Grounds is amazing. We all love it. We all exclusively buy our comics there.
Yes.
We also exclusively buy our coffee there generally.
Yes.
Cause that's my favorite.
See, and cause I'm not a huge coffee drinker, and I've talked to them about it too. It's like, I'm not a huge coffee fan in general, but like, I always get a drink when I go up there because it's,
well, like, I don't,
theirs are really good.
I don't
really
normally buy comics anymore, but I always end up spending at least $20-$30 when I go up there. I can't resist. And what they do is they pick comics for you. And I guess a lot of places do this, but I didn't know this. If you tell them, hey, I like this comic or I like this character, I went up there. They had comics I didn't even ask for, but I bought them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, you like Godzilla, right? I do like Godzilla. Here's Godzilla.
Right.
So, yes, Villainous Grounds is sponsoring this.
That actually is fairly, in my experience anyway, that's fairly unique to Villainous Grounds. Like, I was subscribed to a few comic shops down here, and they never did anything like what they do up there for me. Like, I'll go up there and like, well, you know, you like these comic books. We figured you'd probably be interested in this one. And, you know, worst case, like, if you don't buy it, we can always put it back on the shelf. Yeah. No
and
big deal.
And that's the big thing, too, is it's like, there's never an obligation. Like,
yeah.
I have never, like, anytime they have pulled stuff for me, it's never been like a, okay, well, now I have to buy it.
Yeah,
it's
no
always,
pressure.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, hey, this came in. We thought you might like it.
They are absolutely what an independent shop should be. No pressure, friendly. They go out of the way to help you, and it's always fun to go up there. We enjoy it so much.
And they legitimately look happy when anybody walks in the store.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're thrilled to have you there.
They are the personification of what a store should be. And, they're sponsoring this month's shows every Tuesday, Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. Jesse, I know you got a special thing going with them upcoming.
Yeah, I wanted to go ahead and talk about that while we were talking about Villainous Grounds.
Hit me up.
On, October 29th at Villainous Grounds from 12 to 4, they will have Jeremy Hahn there signing books. For those of you that don't know him, you can look him up. He is an artist with DC Comics, started with, Image and IDW, done a lot of stuff. So this guy's legit professional artist, and he'll be up there signing books and, you know, talking to the crowd. And Nerd Up will be doing a special show with Jeremy Hahn on October 29th.
And that is exciting.
That's super exciting.
It's amazing to me how far we've come with this little podcast.
It's really true. So yeah, I mean, on October 29th, guys, make sure that you go up to Villainous Grounds, get you a cup of coffee. It's half the price of Starbucks and twice as good.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So get nice and caffeinated on the 29th. Get your book signed by Jeremy Hahn.
Yep.
Do the meet and greet.
Yeah, we're just, you know, it's a chance to talk to an artist in the field, professional artist.
And also check out local artist stuff, because they also help support local artists with their shop, which is really awesome.
As if we needed another reason to praise them. They do. They support local artists. They sell local artist work. I mean, they do everything up there. And they're sponsoring this show all month long on Villainous October. We didn't actually come up with a name.
Just Villains Month.
Villains Month. That works. Tonight we're talking about comics. Before we get to the comics, I want to read a story for you. Just a story. It's on my phone.
Mr. Sinister 100 and the Five Star Menace.
So, this year on Terrifying Tanner Thursdays, we're going to go clown hunting. We've said this before on the show. We're going to, me and Jesse. He nodded at me. I'm thinking. Maybe Lindsay, if she's not too scared, and Tanner and whoever else is crazy enough to go clown hunting. We're going to go clown hunting because this is a big thing. This is taking over. The clowns are spotted everywhere. And whether it's a some kind of promotion or it's just idiots dressing up because they think it's funny, whatever, we're going to go clown hunting. I saw this story today on KFES 12. This is from Bardstown, Kentucky, which, by the way, Bardstown sounds like somewhere my D&D character
would
know.
I was going to say, like, I think that might be where you're from, where Lineheart's from.
I'm going to read the entire story. It's very short, but so just listen. A Bardstown man is charged with second-degree wanton endangerment. Wantons.
Wanton.
Yeah. I suddenly got hungry.
He broke into a Chinese restaurant, was just going to town. Like, those are extra.
Those wontons. His second-degree wanton endangerment. Wanton. After shooting in the air near a woman and her dog after mistaking the woman for a clown. Adam Tingle saw a woman walking her dog Monday night just before 11:20 p.m. and yelled at her, thinking she was a scary clown that's been popping up all over social media recently. After the woman and her dog didn't stop walking, Tingle fired a shot from his rifle into the air.
That sounds like a clown sentence. Tingle. Tingle fired his rifle. Like, no.
I mean, I heard the last name, and I thought that was the clown for a second. I thought that's where we were going.
And when he fired the rifle, it went like,
just a bang.
Yeah.
A flag showed up.
Tingle told responding officers that he shot in the air because he felt frightened due to the recent clown sightings. Thankfully, the woman and her dog were not hurt by the gunfire. Story will be updated. So, for all of you guys out there, if you're listening to this show and you're dressing up like a clown and you think it's funny, this is going to happen.
Yeah, don't do that in an open carry state. Like,
somebody's going to get shot.
It's not open carry yet. We got until January.
Even in a concealed carry state. That's a terrible idea.
You're running the risk of getting shot. All right, now that we got that out of the way, let me introduce the cast 8 minutes into the show. You should know by the voices by now if you're a longtime listener. If you're a first-time listener, maybe listening through Villainous Grounds, thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy it and check out the rest of the podcast. It's a lot of fun. My name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100, half of the name of the show. At the end of the table is Asa Gray. He's the five-star man.
Five.
It's five stars. Next to me, to the left, is Jesse Kimball, host of Nerd Up, co-owner of Podzilla 1985, who is the comic expert, which is why we brought him in tonight.
Hey.
And then across from him, Ali Abair, our quote-unquote producer. I say that for the lulz. And Ali is kind enough to be here to join us tonight as well.
Hello.
As she is every Tuesday and Wednesday for this show in Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And, of course, the Peanut Gallery, Billy Wolfert.
And of course, Allie's gone from producer to just official co-host.
Yeah, well, I said we should rename the show Two Guys, a Girl, and a Podcast. And then I looked that up. I thought that's got to be taken. And it is, but it hasn't been updated in forever.
Mm-hmm. That was the same thing with Nerd Up. It had been taken, but the last time somebody had posted anything was like 2004.
Yeah.
So I was like, yep, mine now.
Yeah, open range. All right, let's get this started. Here's the criteria that we chose for this, and I think we all agreed on it. Any comic book, if it's been in a comic book, it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, cause a lot of people are going to go, well, comic books, automatically they're going to DC and Marvel. It's mm-hmm. more than DC and Marvel. Just, you mentioned, IDW, Dark Horse.
Image.
I mean.
Vertigo. Well, Vertigo is technically DC, but yeah, either way.
That's my phone buzzing. I'm getting updates from the vice presidential debate. Let me just set that over there.
Speaking of villains.
Yeah. Hey-o. That's truly villainous grounds. We agreed to keep it PG.
Yes. I don't know why that popped up right now.
We're going to try really, really hard.
Really hard. Manga's in?
I mean, it's comic book.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. I only have one non-Marvel DC character on mine. But that's just because, like, Jesse's a big comic book fan. I had kind of spells that I was, like, I'm probably the biggest collecting fan as I am, as I've ever been at this point in my life. But everything that I've read, like, I've read some of the independent stuff, but never, nothing's really kind of struck a chord with me, like a lot of these other characters really have.
Also, it's really hard for me. The hardest part in deciding this was, since all it is the criteria is you have to be a comic book villain, it was very hard for me to not pick things like, you know, Xenomorphs from the Alien comics. Because they're great villains. Like, if you've ever seen the Alien movies, they're incredibly terrifying. But I feel like that's cheating. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I just feel like that's off limit.
Like, you know. I mean, we definitely allow it. It's just, right. But I understand why you, cause I, the reason I have a pretty notable absence on my list, but it's because he's actually going to be in the movies one that we do.
I think I have a feeling I know who you're going to pick.
Oh yeah.
It's not Thanos, is it?
No.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave it at that. We'll wait for the movies.
We'll
get there. No.
No, never mind. That's not who I was thinking at all.
Ooh. Jesse, let's start with you. And you know what? Let's hit it with, for the people tuning in, they don't want to wade through the junk. Let's get, first off, who's your favorite villain in comics? Hit me with your best shot.
I mean, it's really hard for me to pick, like, a favorite anything in comic books. Just really, really hard. I'd have to go, if I'm going to be put on the spot, I'd probably say Venom.
Sorry, Allie.
I'm not going to have a list at the end of this. I kind of figured that would happen, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, Venom has just always been, like, ever since I was little. If you remember the old 90s Spider-Man cartoon.
That's where I first saw Venom.
Yeah, first time that you see Black Suit Spider-Man, that was like my favorite. Like, I saw that and I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. And then, you know, the symbiote hits Eddie Brock and turns into this big, hulking, just terrifying looking thing. And like, 8-year-old me, all about that. I loved the logo. I loved the everything about Venom. Carnage to a lesser extent, I liked a whole lot, but.
I really like Carnage. My biggest problem with Carnage was that it's like they just looked at Venom and thought, well, can we make him bloodthirstier? Like, can we make him less human and just more of a monster? And Carnage, I don't think is as interesting as Venom. Carnage is basically the Joker with an alien on him.
It really depends. There have been Carnage story arcs that are really good.
Maximum Carnage.
Maximum Carnage was awesome.
That's one of my all-time favorite comics.
Then there was a Super Nintendo game, Separation Anxiety.
Separation Anxiety.
I hated that game.
I have it.
It
was so hard.
I
do play it.
Oh no, I do too, and I don't, because it is hard.
I don't like, and it's one of those things. I understand that it will be hard because even when I was younger, I without cheat codes, I couldn't get past like the second level.
Well, same thing with Maximum Carnage. Which was based, because those games are very, very similar.
Yeah.
And they're both ridiculously hard, but really fun. And you know what those are? Those are LJN games.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Go figure.
But just something about Venom.
Allie, you had Venom on your list.
Yeah.
Why do you like Venom?
Well, he looks really cool. And I did always find the interest between how Venom kind of, I know I'm not very good with comic book stories. I know, mostly know movies, but how it kind of seemed to come from Spider-Man with the similar look and all that, I thought that was interesting.
Venom was kind of like, Venom was to Spider-Man as Eve was to Adam.
What?
He came from his, and then he caused the end of... No.
Okay. I actually had Carnage on my honorable mentions list, because it's such a cool idea. That I just always feel like you said, they really just kind of devolved from what he really could be to just like, okay, just blatant sociopath.
Yeah.
Blind bloodlust. Cause the idea of a serial killer being imbued with the symbiote
power and influence,
sign me up.
Yeah.
But it always just kind of felt like, he's just going for the mass murder for.
And that's why I like the Maximum Carnage storyline was because it was my first introduction to Carnage. I think it was the first Carnage story, wasn't it? Or am I crazy?
I'm not sure about that.
But the fact that he had a family, you know, it wasn't just him murdering everybody. I don't remember the girl's name that was like his lieutenant, but I remember Doppelganger was in there. And that had Cloak and Dagger in it. And that introduced me to Cloak and Dagger. So yeah, I thought Carnage was cool, but Venom was the originator. He was always good. And can we talk for a second about, since you mentioned the movie, Allie, can we talk about Topher Grace as Venom? Jesse doesn't look like he wants to. Let me just say, I didn't think Topher Grace did a terrible job. I thought he was okay, but I'm little kid Shannon, nostalgia Shannon, needed Venom to be
big.
Big and scary.
Yeah.
Because part of the reason I like Venom was he had that, the face and the mouth with the tongue and everything.
Yeah.
That was not in the movie.
No.
It was just that one scene where he goes,
yeah, I mean, and that was pretty much like, I think that was the general consensus was Topher Grace did a good job with the character, but it's not what...
The character was poorly written.
Yeah. Well, and it was just like, it was a bad characterization because it's like, no, yeah. Venom and Eddie Brock are just supposed to be these hulking, giant guys. The opposite of small, wirely, agile Peter Parker.
Right. And Venom in the movie was basically just Peter Parker evil.
Yeah.
Which Peter Parker was already evil, and he did that dance.
That was evil.
So Venom is a good choice. And yes. Surprises me as your all-time favorite, though. I won't lie.
I'm also surprised at that.
Like I said, all-time favorite is really, really hard for me to pick. And honestly, if you ask me the same question next week, I guarantee you will be different.
Different answer.
You're going to go back and listen to this one. Just like, no, pass Jesse.
Pass Jesse. it's one of those things. I love a good anti-hero, first of all, like a hero with conflict. And, or a villain with conflict, if you want to go that route. But, I mean, Eddie Brock as Venom was just awesome. The Flash Thompson as Agent Venom later was also awesome.
Oh, that was so good. Yeah. Where they turned him into a hero.
And then there was a whole middle part with other Venoms that weren't quite as good.
Also, to answer your question, Amazing Spider-Man 361 was the first appearance of Cletus Kasady as Carnage. Mm. He was introduced in issue 344. And then about 6 months later, they did Maximum Carnage storyline. So it was probably the first big arc with Carnage, but it wasn't the first story arc with him.
And I used to go to the old Bodie's drugstore in Mount City, where I'm from originally, and I used to get the Maximum Carnage storylines monthly. Like, he had some comics there, and they had that, and I gathered almost all of them, but I didn't get to finish the series until like 5 or 6 years ago when they had the big paperbound edition at Barnes & Noble. So, it was good stuff. Asa, let's go on to you. Who's your favorite villain?
See, now, Jesse said his was very hard to pick. Mine was not. Because mine has been my favorite for years and forever and ever. And that is Jonathan Crane, a.k.a. the Scarecrow. I have always loved him. Like, ever since I was a kid.
What was your first introduction to Scarecrow?
Animated series. And
them 90s cartoons, man.
Voiced by, I think, Jeffrey Combs was Scarecrow.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Great horror actor.
The reason that he has always resonated with me and it stuck is because as a kid, I was afraid of scarecrows. It was because of the old Goosebumps book, Scarecrow Walks at Midnight.
Which you've talked about before on the show.
Yeah, we've talked about that. And now all of a sudden there's this Batman villain who's a scarecrow. Oh, and he preys on fear. Like, he actually has this toxin that makes you afraid and you can see,
everything looks like your worst fear.
Yeah. I have yet to really, personally, find a bad version of him outside of the comic books, because the one big thing, because like I will go on and on about how great the Scott Snyder New 52 Batman run was. My only complaint is he didn't do an extended Scarecrow arc.
Yeah, there was really only that like
one in Detective, and then he kind of showed up briefly anytime they did like a mass prison thing in Arkham.
Well, because didn't they do like the a side story with Scarecrow where it was like a. They did a whole villain set with it where they had like all these lithograph covers.
I don't know if Scarecrow got one of those.
I don't remember.
If he did, I don't know if Scott Snyder wrote it. They had other authors doing that one.
Right.
When Arkham Knight was announced and it's like, oh, this is going to be a Scarecrow. He's going to be the big villain. Oh, yes, because in Arkham Asylum, he had the best segments.
He really did.
I thought he had the best part in Batman Begins too.
Yeah, and then Batman Begins, Cillian Murphy did a amazing job. Do you want to see my mask?
Yes,
please.
The way he says that was so good.
Just
also,
so condescending.
How many other people fell in love with Cillian Murphy in that movie?
Oh.
Just flat incredible. Out said he's beautiful.
It was that was one of the best performances. Like that, I don't know if it was quite on par with Heath Ledger's Joker, but it was up there.
They picked really good actors for the villains in that trilogy.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Liam Neeson even as Ra's al Ghul.
Is it Ra's or Ra's?
Ra's is how I've always heard it.
Ra's is how it's like supposed to be said. Ra's is always like the mispronunciation that like the Westerners common, use. Yeah. But I've always said Ra's.
I've always said Ra's, but I've heard Ra's a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think either one is wrong or right. I think Ra's is supposed to be the...
It's like Caribbean and Caribbean.
Yeah.
Except it's Caribbean. And if you don't agree with me, you can burn.
There was actually... it was a Batman arc from a while back, and I want to say it may have been a Snyder book, but it may have also been a Morrison book. that actually had the pronunciation in there. Like someone was trying to explain to, I think it was Dick was trying to explain to someone how to say Raish's name. And he's like, no, no, long A. So it's Raish. That's how you, and, mm-hmm. but in most of the, well, not even most, even like the DC Directs, the cartoons, and there's one of them where he's Raish all the way through. But there's like two other ones where they mention Roz, and it's Roz. Is hey, how they say
in
it.
The Nolan films, I remember they said Roz.
Yeah.
What's your name, Mr. Roz?
Well, even, I was going to say, I think she even says Raz.
Well, that was like a white woman, so.
Right. I think that was just the, she just didn't know what it was.
The best part, my favorite thing about the Batman, the Nolan trilogy was Scarecrow. I've said that since the beginning, and I wanted him more in it because I've always loved Scarecrow too. He's so.
Got a little bit in the third one.
Yeah. Unannounced too.
Yeah. Which I was excited just to see him. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was like, oh man, I wish. If you're going to put him in there, make him a bigger part of it, but just any bit of Cillian Murphy in that role, yeah. I will take.
And it was cool to see him back. And yeah, the animated series is the first time I saw him. And especially in the new adventures of Batman and Robin, when he went from the Scarecrow to the old West Judge with the noose with the around noose. His neck.
Oh, that was awesome.
As a kid, man, that was terrifying.
Oh, yeah. But even just the fact that, you know, here's this guy, because this is coming from a time where, okay, you have Joker as like the... He's got the madness going for him, so his whole thing is unpredictability. Whereas almost every other Batman villain can really kind of go toe-to-toe with him. Like, between weapons and gadgets, like, there's always a kind of a formidable, like, physical presence. Whereas Scarecrow never had that. Like, he just had...
Yeah, once he got caught, he was done.
Yeah, because he was a skinny little guy. He wasn't a fighter.
And I always loved that, because I grew up, like, really skinny and small and on the smaller side. So I was like, oh, but he can... do this stuff. Like, he's going toe-to-toe with Batman, no problem. And he doesn't need to rely on strength, because he can outsmart Batman.
Yeah, because you're right. Most Batman villains fall into one or two categories, either gadgets, guns, or strength.
Yep.
And you can even say gadgets and guns are kind of the same, but like Penguin, mm-hmm. guns and gadgets, you know.
No, Penguin was mostly henchmen.
Except for the That's Batman.
True. Like,
Kung Fu Master
Penguin.
Everyone
knew Kung Fu.
I have yet to start the second season. It's all on Netflix. And I really enjoyed the first season, except for literally everyone is a Kung Fu Master.
Everyone trained with Sammo Hung in that one. I said Sammo Hung instead of Jackie Chan. No one will probably get that reference. But yeah, I love Scarecrow.
Yeah, so Scarecrow has always been my just all-time favorite. Anytime a new Scarecrow story is announced, I get excited. I love that character. I actually wrote... Well, not wrote. Like, I have an idea. I had an idea for a Scarecrow story.
Well, I didn't write. Well, I started to write it.
Like, I started to write it. I just never really knew how to finish it. And I'm not a writer. So, like, how to actually write does not click in my brain.
Mm. So you just need to do a book on tape.
But then it turned out how it kind of turned out into a little bit of Injustice. So it's like, oh, I've had this idea for a while now. Let's play Injustice. Oh. Okay, well,
that's how you wrap that up.
That's my mama. Anyway, so Scarecrow, I wasn't surprised by that because we talked about it.
Oh, yeah. I've been very vocal of my love for...
That was on really Allie's list. In fact, both of your picks so far were on Allie's list. So
Allie, my list is now down to three.
Well, I have to ask you, who's your favorite villain?
Well...
I'm curious. Billy, you got the popcorn?
No? Okay. Shannon's already getting the gifts ready.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, Michael Jackson's here.
Picking a favorite of almost anything, especially whenever there's so many options, can be difficult. But I would probably have to say Harley Quinn, just from her origin story of how she was a therapist who just got abused and manipulated into turning into this awful, crazy person.
You know, we had an argument about that. Well, not an argument, but Lindsay and I were talking about this, and she said, do you think Harley Quinn should be legal? Because she started on the animated series. She wasn't a comic book villain originally. But we decided any comic book, like if you've been in the comic book, I think that counts enough. But it is interesting that Harley Quinn started as
starting the animated series.
Yeah, a new character that they made strictly for the animated series. And then she became so big and such an interesting character because she's unlike any other character in the Batman universe of this literally tormented soul who, you know, follows this person blindly who says he loves her and hates her, you know, clearly hates her and doesn't want anything to do with her. And it's one of the all-time great storylines that Jesse... You know more about this than I do. What is the current status of Harley Quinn and Joker? The last I knew, she had completely gone away from him. It wasn't even a thing anymore.
Well, at this point, every version of the Joker is dead.
spoiler alert.
Again, it's one of those things, like, it's the Joker, so he's gonna be back.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but that's gonna happen. Even before that, though, even when he was alive, she actually, in the Scott Snyder run of, Death of the Family, they had, Harley Quinn made an appearance in that because she thought he was dead. And then when he comes back, like, she's like, oh my God, Mr. J, you're back. And, it doesn't go well. Basically, because whenever he comes back in that one where, like, he's completely insane and he has just the mask made out of his own face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yet terrifying looking. But either way, like, at that point, he is just off the deep end. Like, he is significantly angrier and scarier than he's ever been. And he really kind of used Harley Quinn as bait to get him in there. And that was, I guess, the last straw for her. So she actually left Gotham. And then there's also Suicide Squad, where she's in the Suicide Squad, but she has her own solo book where she left Gotham and she's kind of made a life of her own, mm-hmm. doing, like hero-ish antics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's trying to be a hero, but she still has some of that villain mentality.
Yeah.
And so she does that kind of stuff, but.
And that was kind of a new 52 thing where they kind of reset the entire universe, because pre-New 52, she had pretty much entirely broken away from him and actually hated the Joker.
Which, yeah. I thought was about the best ending you could have for something like that.
To me, that's what makes her such a great character, is that, you know, she spent all this time in this abusive relationship, but she was able to break away, and, like, she won.
And then
they kind of went back on it, but then slowly it seemed like they were gonna...
I mean, they went back real fast. Like, it was, they recognized that she was she didn't like him anymore.
Right.
But she had a brief relapse when he died, mm-hmm. She had this, like, when she thought he was dead, she had this moment of like, oh my God, he's actually dead, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came back to life...
All of a sudden,
you know, like, all of that, like...
Just comes flooding back.
I'm
sure there's a psychological thing of when your abuser dies, there's something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then,
definitely. And then, yeah, she very quickly is reminded why she hated the Joker. And then, yeah, like,
he's not a likable person.
He's not.
Also, she is most certainly fair game, because anytime if you ask for, okay, what is my must read Batman stories, Mad Love shows up on that list.
Yeah.
And plus, she had one of the best character arcs. Yeah. And which is why I'm always disappointed. If there's one thing I hate most about Harley Quinn, it's how much she changes from writer to writer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one writer, she'll be this super serious. Like, I read one that's a really acclaimed Joker book where she was basically a silent stripper. And I think you know which one I'm talking about. It's the one where Joker gets out of jail. They have this guy follow him around
Yeah. And it was the one they did after Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Where they went with that style of Joker.
And she's just a silent stripper. She's literally stripping in one part. She never says anything. In other parts, she's this really goofy, lovable, kind of, sort of psychotic, but kind of endearing.
Right.
And another one, she's bat crazy and just bloodthirsty. So there's no, there's a consistency, but there's a very inconsistency to her character, too.
I mean, even going right now, she's in both Suicide Squad and a solo book, and they're very clearly two different Harley Quinns.
Yeah.
So, like, it's one of those things, it's a weird thing that DC is trying to do with the character right now.
I think they're trying to find footing, and whenever they keep changing her character around so much, it's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, we argued about this one night, the Suicide Squad version of Harley Quinn.
Yeah. That wasn't really a question. That was just.
I thought if I could just say Suicide Squad, that would be all it would take to start.
Boo!
To start a chorus of boos from the audience.
And I mean, there's also a significant difference, obviously, between Suicide Squad, the movie, and the current comic book.
Yeah, because I mean, the comic books, she's golden, you know, more or less. And the Suicide Squad movie, Margot Robbie was great as her, but I just really hated the way that they portrayed the character and the way they portrayed the relationship. And that's what we argued about,
mm-hmm.
was Allie said there's something more under the surface. But my argument was that I agree, but when you have a new version of this character, you can't rely on old tricks, right. So you've got to establish it again.
My argument was more on the writing for Harley was good, the writing for Joker was bad.
They wrote for the Joker? I just assumed someone said, hey, Jared.
Yeah, he had all those knives
because
in a circle.
That scene still makes no sense to me.
The attitude Harley had and all of the just acting goofy all the time until you got her alone whenever she was separated from him and you actually saw like a serious part of her. It's completely believable to me. But how the Joker acted towards her wasn't the best to portray the relationship they actually have
Yeah.
in the storyline.
And that was my biggest problem with Suicide Squad of all of everything, I think.
Yeah. It was, I mean, the biggest problem I had with Suicide Squad was, I mean, you kind of hit on it. It's like they changed a bunch of stuff around, but they still expected the viewers to use prior knowledge of characters in the show. Like, it's silly to make stuff different, but still rely on people to assume from the comic books.
Yeah, it's like, it's completely different. It's all new. Mm-hmm. But do you remember Pepperidge Farm? Remember?
This only makes sense if you knew this about the comic books, but at the same time, it's completely new.
Yeah.
But we did an entire show on Suicide Squad and why we hated it. So.
Ooh, we did. An hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can move past it.
Go back and listen to that show, because that was a great show.
So, are you going to do, since we're doing favorite, are you going to do Magneto? Are you...
You son of a... Why would you say
spoilers!
It? Yeah, I am.
Magneto?
Yeah,
all right. I mean,
it's very clearly a correct choice.
Yeah.
It is, like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I gave the answer away whenever we came up with this.
Well, I mean, even
month.
Yeah, I was gonna say the show we did where
I wanted to come up with something more clever. Mm-hmm. I really did. I wanted to go, okay, let me hit them with a character that like I
pull out a deep cut.
Yeah, like someone that they're not expecting, someone that I really, really like. Mm-hmm. And the closest I could come up with was Two-Face because I really
he's
like
on my list too.
I love Two-Face, mm-hmm. but the reason I love him and Magneto are very similar. You mentioned earlier, someone said that they liked villains who had. You know,
that was me.
Yeah.
Conflict.
And there's no better villain. And I don't think there's a more interesting villain in any universe than Magneto. Because every hero has something that happens to them that causes them to become a hero. Spider-Man lost his uncle.
The
origin story. Batman lost his parents. You know, Superman came from another planet, et cetera, et cetera. Magneto's origin story was one of legitimate grief, like of one of the biggest tragedies in human history.
Yes.
And it is such a good, and the Holocaust, obviously, for people that don't know Magneto, for whatever reason.
Yeah, he was a Holocaust survivor.
He was a Holocaust survivor, and his family was in the Holocaust, and he lost his family.
Yes.
And the fact that he was Jewish and was a Holocaust survivor simply because the Nazi regime was so evil and so monstrous that now in this current world where mutants are very much treated like Jewish people were in those days.
In Germany.
They wanted to be rounded
up. Feared and hated.
Yep. To me, there's no other villain that has that dynamic of legitimate real world experience, real world anger that could be translated so well into comics. I love Magneto. He's so complex. Like, he's not a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to protect his people the same way he could not protect his family.
And you've also got to point out, it was originally written as a comparison of Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X.
Yes.
Like Professor X. Which from the naming, you'd think it went differently.
Was switched.
Magneto, obviously Malcolm X in this situation, he believes that, human beings are going to hunt mutants to extinction. So violence is the only answer.
By any means necessary.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I didn't know any of this. Like the first time I saw Magneto was in the animated series. And they kind of, I think they did show that
there's one issue, like, or one episode, like, they show him as a kid behind the concentration camp.
Yeah.
But I don't think they flat out say, I don't think they ever actually say Nazi or concentration camp. I think there's.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been a little too
really heavily inferred, like, what it is.
Yeah.
And, like, parents watching were like, yes.
Oh, I don't want to explain this to him yet. But that made Magneto cool to me was just the fact that he looked so cool. That outfit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That
red and
the
purple.
Cape.
Yeah.
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 He was
big
so,
old cape.
He stood out so much, and I never really liked his powers because I thought, he can control he's magnetic. Good for him.
Right.
Except for whenever you think about everything in this world that
has a magnetic
that he can manipulate.
Yeah.
Once you realize just how much he can really do by just controlling metal. And that led to my favorite moment of comics of all time. I've said this on the show before. The comic, because my favorite comic growing up, I love the storyline of Asteroid M and Fabian Cortez and how he betrayed Magneto and the X-Men are going to Asteroid M to stop Magneto and all this stuff. And then in the issue where Wolverine, you know, says, you know what? I'm done with this. Let's go. And Magneto goes, okay.
Anytime that, like, Wolverine seems to forget that on the regular.
Every time.
He's not the brightest.
This will go great. Stink.
And then Magneto in this particular issue, Magneto completely goes, all right, I'm done playing, and pulls the bones from Wolverine's body. And the only reason he didn't die was because Jean Grey kept him together using telepathy.
Long enough that he could
the healing factor fixed everything.
And when you realize that Wolverine, who is, you know, the X-Men's golden boy. I mean, mm-hmm. he's the favorite. I hate it, but he's the best.
I mean, especially back in the 90s.
Nothing hotter than Wolverine.
Nothing.
So the fact that he would be so easily destroyed by Magneto really made me go, okay, this character's got power. Then I found out about the Holocaust, you know, mm-hmm. that he was related to that, because I already knew about the Holocaust, obviously. Then I found out about all of the backstory, and I cannot think of a better villain than Magneto. He's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy.
WWE desperately wants Roman Reigns to beat up Wolverine. Like, the image of him removing the skeleton, like, the skeleton actually coming out of his body, terrorized me as a child.
It stuck with me.
I hated Magneto as a kid.
Yeah.
Because of that image. Like, so, and then the 90s comic or the 90s cartoon is being aired, and I'm just like, no, he's stupid. I don't like him. He can be Wolverine. Nobody beats Wolverine.
Well, I never understood why he was their main villain. Like, I didn't know any of that extra stuff. Right. I just knew him as a villain.
And it's,
so I thought, well, there's so many better villains. Mr. Sinister is so much more powerful. Apocalypse is a god.
Yeah.
Like, why is Magneto so important? And now I realize it.
Red is in that one.
Yeah, really there's so good. Many good ones. But I realize now that Magneto is just the best villain. He's the most interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
From a humanist standpoint.
And what's great too is it's like, using the Holocaust as an origin story or as a component, you gotta walk a real fine line.
Yeah, because that could
go right into the exploitive territory, mm-hmm. and they never do. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's been times where lesser writers will handle the character and they...
I mean, in the movies, they go kind of like...
It's a little bit more heavy-handed.
Yeah, exactly.
But done well. Like, First Class.
Yeah.
First Class was great.
Michael Fassbender was born to play Magneto.
I'll say, I absolutely agree. That's why I loved Apocalypse so much. That scene where they're in the factory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When he has his family back, or he has he starts over. Yeah, no, just...
And that's what I love about Magneto. It's like, he wants to be human. He doesn't want to kill people, but he has to protect people.
And that was my least favorite part of Apocalypse, is they made him a huge deal in that movie, but he was a background huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, he very much could have been a much bigger part. Yeah,
they're pushing Jennifer Lawrence hard. Well, not even
her. Like, I mean, and it was like, it was her and Apocalypse were the real focus. Like, Magneto was a very crucial part of that movie, but he was very much, he was the app running in the background, kind of keeping everything moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Important part, but definitely wasn't the focus. And I also regretted that, because what worked so well for me in First Class and Days of Future Past was mm-hmm. Magneto.
Yeah.
And especially in Days of Future Past, when you have, in the future, mm-hmm. of Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart playing off of each other, especially when Ian McKellen's dying and he's just like, I'm sorry. We wasted so many years.
Oh.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, I love Magneto. So that's my choice. So let's recap real quick. If you're looking for the favorites, Jesse Kimball says Venom, Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
Or just Venom. Or do you just mean the symbiote?
Venom in general, but like, once it left Eddie Brock, it was no longer a villain.
That's true.
Like, because
I thought when it went to the guy after Eddie Brock, there was two people after Eddie Brock. One was some nobody that he abandoned while jumping across rooftops, and the guy fell to his death. And then the other one was Scorpion. Used to be Scorpion. Wasn't he a villain?
Well, there've been a couple hosts, but they were never like long term.
Right. Like, as far as long term goes, I think there may have been three hosts, but I couldn't tell you who the third is. But it's mostly Eddie Brock and Flash Thompson.
And even Eddie Brock was. It was sort of a villain/hero.
Right. He was. They tried to make him into an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Like a Punisher style.
Lethal
character.
Enforcer, I think is what they called him, or Lethal Hero.
Yeah,
or
Lethal
Enforcer.
Like that. Yeah, that's been used. But I mean, for the most part, he was a villain.
Yeah.
But his sole objective was killing Spider-Man. Like, that's really all he cared about. Yeah. He was very goal driven. but yeah, no, that was his whole shtick.
And he looked awesome.
He looked so awesome.
Asa Gray, you said Scarecrow. Which is a great choice as well. Allie said Harley Quinn, which is a great choice. Like, I could see somebody going, well, those are so mainstream. Yeah, usually it's mainstream because it's good. Uh-huh. Oh, no, I'll take that back.
I mean, it doesn't get popular if it's bad.
That's definitely true.
You saw X3. Anyway.
Was X3 popular?
I mean, it made money.
It certainly did.
Yeah, so did Suicide Squad.
There you go.
But Ghostbusters didn't.
I know.
Anyway.
It's fine.
God.
Moving on.
All right, moving
Jesse,
on.
Jesse, number
to,
two.
Yeah.
Right, number two.
Secondary lists. And these will kind of, we're at 40 minutes already somehow.
No, I have so many more I want to talk much about.
Let's go around, maybe spend a minute or so explaining and just keep going. Okay. All
right. I guess next on my list would probably be Bane.
See, okay, this is perfect, because Bane is also on my list.
Bane's strong.
Yeah. You know, Bane.
Oh, Bane is so much more than strong.
He is so much more than strong. He broke the bat.
Did you see Batman and Robin?
Stop it. Oh, stop it.
Sorry.
PG show.
Anyway.
It's going to be real hard.
So no, Bane. Bane has always been one of my favorite, like, the Batman Rogues Gallery is easily my favorite Rogues Gallery in comic books.
Shannon wanted to set a rule that one villain per franchise.
And the reason I said that was because of Batman and X-Men.
And Spider-Man.
Well, and that's the problem. It's like Marvel kind of has just a whole shared villain pool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Batman has, I'll go ahead and say it. Batman has the best rogues gallery in comics.
I agree.
Isn't Batman the reason they call it a rogues gallery?
No.
Well, Batman,
what was that coined on?
Well, I mean, Batman has the rogues gallery and then Flash has like the rogues.
Oh.
So, I mean, I don't know where that term actually came from, but.
A rogues gallery more or less just means their set of villains.
Yeah, the set of villains. But like when you think rogues gallery, it is that Batman.
Because I'm pretty sure the origin was not in any one comic book. Bane has always been just, like, he's the only one that ever beat Batman. And he did it just, he had a plan. He out-strategized the Batman.
He out-strategized the world's greatest detective.
Yes.
Which is, honestly, it never happened before and it hasn't happened since.
At least not on such a long-term level. Like,
right.
I mean, like, he pretty much won the war.
Yeah.
Like, that Nightfall arc resulted in, like, a chase for the cow so someone could replace Batman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that had, like, some really interesting arcs, like Azrael being Batman.
Which I liked Azrael. He was pretty cool.
He is cool, but he was not a good Batman.
A little too extreme.
A little too extreme. But no, I love Bane. Bane is awesome. Mm-hmm. The closest we've had in media representation of Bane was The Dark Knight Rises.
Tom Hardy.
And it was awesome.
Bane. Yeah.
He was a great Bane. I loved everything about it. I stopped using puppet as the term.
Good.
But I don't like his association with Talia al Ghul for that. Because Bane is very much a prideful person. He does not, and I understand that character in that movie is different. But the Bane that I know and love is very prideful. He would very much not want to share anything.
Plus,
with
he was
anybody.
Far more interesting than Talia.
I genuinely was hoping that Bane was going to be revealed as the Arkham Knight in that game.
That would have been awesome.
Because, like, they mentioned that they don't know where he is. It's someone who has a rich history or has a very familiarity with Batman, an intimate familiarity, we'll say. And then also, like, well, who could raise an army? Bane's done it before.
He's a mercenary, isn't
he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and he's got a great origin story too, like, abandoned and raised in this, like, South American prison, taught himself to read, like.
Kind of like the story in the movie where they're like, in the prison, climbed out. Oh, Bane's awesome. No. It was Talia. Oh, shut up.
But it doesn't take away anything that he did.
Except that voice.
Yeah, the voice was the only weak part.
The voice
and even that I didn't,
didn't
and honestly
either.
I didn't even mind that much.
I didn't mind it as much as everybody else, but Tom Hardy is a fantastic actor and I don't want to say Jeep Swinson was awful as Bane in Batman and Robin, because again, they basically said go be big and growl. And he did that just fine.
Right.
Dude had $1 million body.
But they just ruined it because it's like it's so easy to fall into the big dumb just I'm
Hulk.
Strong smash.
Yeah. And like that's not
and it's such a simplification of what could be just such a much more complex, amazing character.
Yeah.
Right.
So excited that Tom King is gonna do a Bane arc coming up in
the Batman. I was gonna bring that up too. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit in Nerd Up. I Am Bane is the arc coming up, and yeah, I'm so excited for it because Bane really hasn't been anything more than a B or even C list villain. There for a little while, he was a hero and like a band of mercenaries.
He should be top tier. When I think of Batman villains, Bane's always top tier for me.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, like I said, he's the only one that's ever won a war.
Yep.
Like with the Batman. Mm-hmm. Also, just real quick, Rogues Gallery originated in 1855 by Alan Pinkerton.
So Batman.
Hey, so who you got?
My number two, I'm going to cheat a little bit, is the Red Lantern Corps. But if I'm going to be specific, Atrocitus. And his Lieutenant Dexstar, and I'm putting those two together because they're going to be together in Injustice 2. But the Red Lanterns are, on the color spectrum. It's a Green Lantern villain. The color spectrum, each color is an emotion. The Red Lanterns are rage. Atrocitus has a tragic backstory, watched his family get murdered in front of him, was powerless to do anything about
it.
His entire planet, but like his family was like front and center. I don't want to get into it because I don't want
to. I just saw a picture of him. Holy
God. He looks amazing.
Yes.
Like, he is a terrifying looking villain. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to cry on the air. Look, just Wikipedia Dexstar.
Oh, that origin story is
that
rough.
Is a tip, which, and for the record, before you go in knowing, Dexstar is a house cat who was given a Red Lantern ring.
That looks awesome.
So,
I feel like him and Rocket Raccoon would play.
No, they, so they will. They would. I mean, they would, but there would be no survivors. The Red Lantern, when the ring, sees your great capacity for rage, it replaces your heart with the ring. So you don't have a power battery. You just have the Red Lantern ring is your heart. Your blood is turned to acid.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. It's
also, if the ring is ever removed, you literally die.
Yeah.
Because the ring, again, is your heart.
So yeah, Atrocitus he's a brutal villain. I was so excited that the first arc of Green Lanterns in the Rebirth series was a Red Lantern arc. That looks like it's going to come into play later down the line, if not just immediately following, or if they haven't really finished this arc.
I also just love that name, Atrocitus. That is a cool name.
Yeah. And he's a cool character.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, like in that story, like he is the leader of the Red Lanterns, and he's also the only one capable of cognitive thought. Everyone else in the Corps is so consumed by their rage that they can do barely more than follow orders from Atrocitus.
Like Little Kill the Shanker.
Which his rage was so pure and great that it spawned the Red Lantern Corps. Like, he was the first one. Like, there is I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but like the actual elemental for rage, like found him and imbued him with this power.
I'm gonna have to look up more about Atrocitus because he sounds pretty cool.
He's an awesome character. Awesome.
Allie, who do you got?
Apocalypse.
We talked about that because she asked me about that one. I wanted Apocalypse, but I said take it because we're all going to discuss it anyway. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because the idea, he's this god that has kind of collected powers from mutants from the past years because he takes over their bodies, I think.
And you know, I will admit to not being too familiar with Apocalypse in the comics. I literally know only one Apocalypse storyline from the comics. Do you know which one it is?
Age of Days Apocalypse. Of
Future. The Age of Apocalypse. Yeah. Shut up, Jesse. And I don't remember him taking other mutants' powers in that. He's just a god. I don't know if it was...
No, I like the idea of him...
Taking stuff from people?
Yeah, from the movie.
I need to verify whether or not that was created for the movie or if he always had that. I know that's terrible because Apocalypse is such an iconic X-Men villain.
I mean, I honestly don't know either.
He's gone through so many different iterations that...
Yeah, he's kind of...
He very much could have had that power at some point, and then they decide to scrap it for the next Age of Apocalypse book, because at any time Apocalypse is involved in an X-Men story, it has to be called Age of Apocalypse.
Well, that's because Apocalypse is so... Like, Apocalypse is almost... He's a cheat code. Like, there should be no villain more powerful than Apocalypse. He's God. He's a mutant God. The only one I could think of would maybe be Galactus.
Shadow King
on a different realm kind of thing.
There do exist, like, bigger threats than Apocalypse, but...
Not to the X-Men.
That's
like,
true.
It's like Magneto's like, I mean, you can fight me, but have you seen him? He's literally a god.
And Apocalypse, he's always had like a healing factor similar to Wolverine.
Healing factor, immortality, which comes from that.
Which comes from,
and,
yeah.
It's super big.
And
he can grow in size to incredible proportions. And then he had the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, which is my favorite part of Apocalypse because it's so biblical.
I love that line too.
He got
it from the Bible, or they got it from him.
Yeah.
That was pretty fantastic.
I just wish they had done more with the horsemen in the movie. Yeah. The horsemen of the comic. Like Archangel. My favorite toy as a kid was that blue and purple Archangel toy. Mm-hmm. I don't know who makes blue and purple work so well, but he pulled it off.
He really did. I want to say most of Apocalypse was the fact that he was alive for so long. He was able to experiment for so long and figure a whole lot of stuff out. So he did a lot of that's how the Four Horsemen kind of came about. They were effectively science experiments. He figured out how to amplify the mutant ability,
embiggen
but also
them.
Embiggen them. That's a Miss Marvel.
No.
It is right now.
It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Cromulent. Also, can we give a shout out to the 90s cartoon and the voice actor for Apocalypse?
Who was it? Was it Ed Asner?
I don't know, but I always hear it. Just like every
I'm
once in a while.
Up.
Like,
I gotcha.
It's just, I want to imitate it, but I can't, so I'm not even going to try. But anyone who saw the X-Men cartoon growing up knows that you're hearing it in your head right now.
You know, he's not wrong.
And it's that slow, methodical, just booming, dominating.
I think that that was part of the reason so many people disliked the movie's version of Apocalypse, because there was very few scenes where he had that commanding, booming voice.
And I disagree. And I don't think that that's a valid complaint, because the way that they did his voice, that really, it was much more subtle. It was much more soothing and calming. And, but it did
he was confident.
Yeah.
Also, John Colicos. I have no idea who it is. I'm looking him up right now. He's an older guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you could just, by looking at him, he looks like a guy would have that booming, you know, Apocalypse.
But like the,
so powerful.
It's not Rami Malek, cause that's the guy who does Mr. Robot, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Who did, Apocalypse in Apocalypse. He had that confidence and just that soothing, just kind of suave, but it also had traces of that echo.
Yeah.
Every time he spoke, there was just something
else. And when he got angry, he did get that. And it did get that. Everything they built will fall.
I loved him. I loved him in the movie.
I love Oscar Isaac.
I did, yeah. He had a big ear.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
It's me.
It is you.
Mine is, Siler from Heroes. No, I'm kidding. The Heroes did have a comic, so he would technically count. Yeah. And he is a fascinating character, because he basically, he opens up your head and takes your brain and learns your power from that. Like, he lobotomizes you and takes your ability. He was played by Zachary Quinto, who went on to play Spock. Anyway, you know, it's Two-Face.
And he was in American Horror Story.
Two-Face is good. Yeah. Have you read any of the All-Star Batman?
No. Almost my entire knowledge of Two-Face comes from a few sources. One, the animated series, obviously, which he was voiced by Richard Mall from Night Court, Bull. That was my favorite thing. And The Long Halloween. And The Long Halloween established him as my favorite, probably it's my favorite Batman villain as a whole. What I love about Two-Face is that he's kind of like Magneto to me. Mm-hmm. I have this weird, there's something about me personally that I have this sense of justice. Like, I'm torn between vengeance and justice. All the time.
That's why we had that amazing Batman versus Punisher episode we did.
And Two-Face is a very good personification of, he literally is 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like the Punisher where he kills people for good. No, he's 50-50. He could be evil or good either way because of a psychological issue and a coin. Mm-hmm. That makes him so dangerous because you don't know what he's going to do. I hate how the game of Arkham City portrayed him as such a criminal thug. Because I don't think he is such a criminal thug. The Long Halloween was a much better depiction of Two-Face.
And maybe it's just like a headcanon thing for me, but I always take it, and All-Star Batman actually kind of addresses it. There are two personalities. He has split personality disorder. There are two personalities. Only one of them is in control at any given time. So there are times where Harvey is back in control, and he actively tries to undo or prevent Two-Face from doing evil.
Right.
And so apparently there is some sort of procedure that Batman has found that he's trying to take Two-Face there to remove the damage so only Harvey will be left.
I remember that.
And so, so now it's, but now Two-Face has put a bounty to get anyone who can stop him.
Because Harvey is all for this plan.
Yeah, right. Harvey is a good man.
Yeah.
Whereas Two-Face, so it would make sense that, okay, well, Two-Face is the one in control. He wants to build this criminal empire.
Yeah.
He, you know what? Okay. I can't stop them. I couldn't stop them as Harvey. I was too weak. As Two-Face, I can control them.
Yeah.
So now, not only is, so I'm in control. I'm the leader. I have all the power. So, any sort of you can never stop the evil, but I can be the filter? I don't know.
Be the wall.
So yeah, I agree they kind of did a little bit more of just like garden variety thug stuff.
Who just flips a coin.
Yeah.
There's a line in The Long Halloween where as he's doing this plan, the woman that he's working with, I don't remember her name, but she comes on to him and I'm pretty sure it's Two-Face in control. When I say Two-Face, I mean the bad side. When I say Harvey, it's the good side. And Two-Face shoots her and says Harvey Dent is a married man. That even Two-Face is protecting Harvey Dent's, like, respects Harvey Dent's sanctity of marriage.
Right.
Because Harvey Dent was a good man who just, something terrible happened to him. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Dark Knight movie really portrayed that pretty well.
I loved Aaron Eckhart.
He was a great Two-Face.
Yeah, he was really good.
And then you go back and look at Harvey Dent Tommy Lee Jones's Harvey Dent and Two-Face. What a joke. And I love Tommy Lee Jones. What a joke.
No, that whole movie was, best characters. I've decided that that movie is it's in the same universe as the original Batman movies. that's just the movie version of it that they would be playing in Gotham City.
Making a movie of the hero.
Yeah.
All right. We got time for one more round of discussion.
No.
And then.
I have so many more.
We can read off the list or we can save it for a future episode. It's up to you guys. Jesse, I'm going to give you one more round.
I'm going to go with.
It's Clock's a toss the ticking, up. Buddy.
Juggernaut. Do Juggernaut.
I wonder if anyone's going to pick Juggernaut because I really can't think of any reason to like Juggernaut other than, oh, he's real big and he smashes real hard.
It's the toss up that I was trying to make there, because the two that popped in my mind immediately was the Juggernaut and the Phoenix Force, or Dark Phoenix particularly is what really came to mind because that was one of the best X-Men stories of all time.
Yeah.
Juggernaut, though, I just like because, yeah, he's real big. He hits real hard. And he's just like.
And he looks so cool.
He does. Yeah. He always has.
Which version? Kane Marco or Colossus or?
Kane Marco.
Okay.
Colossus wasn't so much a villain as Juggernaut. He was basically the Hulk. He only became the Juggernaut whenever, because he was the, What is the word I'm looking for?
The host.
And it's not host. It's the avatar of Sidorak. He only became that when he lost control. And then he would, turn bad. But otherwise, Kane Marco just, like, he got it because he's a human being. Managed to.
Not a mutant.
I was actually just talking to Dalton about it yesterday. Like, I always forget that. No, Juggernaut's not a mutant.
No, he says that crystal.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's Professor Xavier's brother, and he always hated and was jealous of the fact that Charles was special.
Or he's half-brother?
Half-brother.
Half-brother.
Yep. Okay. That's why Kane Marco, illegitimate son, I guess. At any rate, always jealous, always angry, and then, he became the avatar of Sidorak and, the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
It's just a cool character.
That's a cool name, too.
The Juggernaut.
Like, part of being a great villain is having a cool name. I can't think of a good villain that has a terrible name. You guys probably can. I can't.
There are so many.
Skin. Stretch. What was his name?
That wasn't a villain. That was a good guy. Skin. Just the worst mutant ever. All right. I think Mr. Fantastic, but his bones didn't move.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's only his skin.
He looked like a guy that weighed 900 pounds that lost all that weight.
In a day.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to that keto diet.
He really does.
Asa?
I have so many that I want to go through. I'm going to have to go with Mysterio.
For Spider-Man. That's an interesting choice.
I like Mysterio a lot.
Because he's entertaining as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He has my favorite boss fight, I think, in any video game. In Spider-Man 2, he's the first boss fight. You get to the convenience store that he's robbing, and you do the little cutscene goes, and then his health bar fills up. Then he gets a second health bar. Then he gets a third health bar. And I think he might get a fourth. Like, but he gets multiple health bars, and you're just like, all right, they're throwing you in real early. You punch him once. All of the health bars immediately drain and you knock his helmet off and he's just down. He's always been portrayed as a joke villain. Like, he's always just kind of cannon fodder.
Except for
the times that he's not. And then he's legitimately like, oh no, that's why he can be a big deal. He's the reason that the Spider-Men comic book existed. He found a way to send Peter Parker into the Ultimates universe. He had a brief run in the Deadpool Spider-Man book.
Yes.
Where Deadpool hits him with this dune buggy. Yeah. And he's like, oh crap, Spider-Man's gonna hate me if I kill someone, so I have to try to save his life. So he's giving him CPR. But most importantly, and I think the one that you were gonna talk about, is Old Man Logan.
Yes.
He legitimately, like, turns out to be, like, yeah, Magneto can pull Wolverine's bones out of his body, but Mysterio's the one that, like, breaks him and really kind of...
I need to read that.
Yeah, basically, the gist of it is,
Don't give... The gist is too much. The gist is too much. If you haven't read Old Man Logan, you really need to read it.
Mysterio does a thing, and, yeah.
Yeah, and it's nuts. But so, I've always loved the idea of him using, like, these, the cubes that have,
The flash cubes.
The flash cubes that can make you experience things that aren't actually there. Very cerebral. And I always thought he looked cool.
I did too. The fishbowl.
Old fishbowl.
Everyone always talks about the fishbowl.
And just real quick too, cause the two that I was really going up between in my head was Mysterio and Shocker. I always loved Shocker in the 90s Spider-Man comic.
That outfit
was so cool. I loved it. That yellow and just like in his the gauntlets that shot the electricity.
It looked like he had found a quilt at home, a bright yellow quilt, mm-hmm. and then he just wrapped it over himself like, well, this is too loose. And then he fitted himself with metal bands to tighten everything up.
Yeah, I loved it.
Just looked in the mirror and went, got it.
Yeah. I don't know why. I always liked it. And I was always bummed that like, man, how come, like, yeah, he was part of the Sinister Six, but like, how come Shocker never gets to be the big bad guy? And now, like, I know, cause he's just a common two-bit thug that happens to have these gauntlets But yeah, he was always one of my favorites too on the show.
Allie?
Well, the last one I have on my list, because it got shortened down to three, is the Joker. Because.
You don't even have to say anything about Joker. Like, Joker's one of those villains that if you just took a poll, he's on the list.
Oh, yeah.
I'm amazed that no one set him up to this point. And I think, I don't know why. It's like Dr. Doom. I'm amazed no one said Dr. Doom.
I'm sure if we'd gone through the full 10, he probably would have gotten. Like, I didn't have either of those on my list, but it's just because, like, I've never been a huge Marvel fan.
I didn't because I hate Joker. The Joker to me is, like, to me, and this is purely opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to point that out. I'm not saying that anyone's wrong for liking him. Just in my opinion, he's always bored me because he's just, on the few times he's shown an intelligence and an interesting character, it's usually, well, maybe that didn't happen, maybe it did, who knows. But he's just psychopath, murders everybody.
You should really read the Scott Snyder run because there are two Joker stories and they are both completely different. You have the completely unhinged, his own face is his mask. Joker.
That's just angry and terrifying.
Yes, and it's terrifying. And then you have Endgame Joker, which is cold and calculating and confident. And yeah, it is a little bit mass murdery. And it is the Joker. So there's laughing and jokes and puns, but both of them are genuinely scary in their own ways. And I would put like, if they just did like a novelization of those arcs, like I would put that up as a literary villain.
I would like to take it back to the Batman. My Joker has dreadlocks, doesn't wear shoes, and knows karate.
Yeah, that's also my least favorite version of him.
Yeah, Allie, why do
plus
you like
that Mark
Joker?
Hamill, that Mark Hamill voice.
I mean, yeah, that voice. But I like the Joker is one that I've known almost my entire life. I didn't grow up on comic books. That was more of my brother's thing. But he was the villain that I knew pretty much my entire life. And so one, that's a reason that he stuck with me. And just the idea that he is legitimately supposed to be, at least, a psychopath. And that just leaves an air of uncertainty on what's gonna happen.
He's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Joker from the Batman.
I just realized that, like, I just kind of ran through, okay, favorite Batman, because I have a list of Batman villains. He's probably like number 7. And I'm not arguing that he's not iconic or great.
Yeah,
it's just Batman's roster is so stacked.
It's loaded.
Sympathetic characters. Mm-hmm. Like,
It's one of those things, like, if I were to rate the Batman Rogues Gallery by their story arcs, like the quality of their story arcs, it would have to be the Joker as number 1.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he easily has the best arcs.
Yeah.
But he is not, yeah, he's probably like 5 or 6 on my list.
And that's one of the good things about comics, too, is it's like, so, I mean, he's the go-to villain for video games, movies,
too much
TV shows, cartoons.
Mm-hmm. He's the quintessential.
But in comic books, especially the last 5, 6 years, when you use the Joker, it's a big deal. So it's very calculated. It's very, he's not just.
So he's like a part-timer now.
Kind of, but like, cause everything he does has to really matter. It's not like, oh, well, we need a filler episode in the middle of season 2. Bring back Joker.
Which unfortunately is what they did a lot in Batman the Animated Series. But that Joker, as good as Mark Hamill was, he could never truly be Joker because he was held back by kids' TV
standards.
And it
got pretty dark.
Oh, there were like, episodes of that show that were just. Oh, we could do an entire show on that show.
Yeah.
On that show.
Oh, yeah.
Like my favorite. Going back to Bane, just for 1 second. My favorite episode of that show and Scarecrow. Mm-hmm. There's an episode where Scarecrow poisons, and you don't know this at the time, but poisons Barbara Gordon into thinking. The whole episode is she falls off the roof and dies, and then the rest of the episode is of Gordon going after Batman for his daughter dying. And then he hires Bane to kill him. And in the end, Batman ends up electrocuting Bane to death before, I think, Gordon dies too, and maybe even Batman. And then she wakes up and realizes it was a hallucination from the Fear Menace. Death. That's dark for a kid's show.
Yeah.
And if, super and dark. If we're going to just briefly go on an animated series tangent, you got to mention Mr. Freeze. Because that gave him the
revitalized heart
of,
him.
Yeah. 100. Yeah. Turned him from just like thug with a gimmick to legitimately heartbreaking. That episode won an Emmy.
Yeah. That show was fantastic. That is the standard which all superhero cartoons and shows in general sometimes should be held to.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Real quick, my last one. I wanted to say Godzilla. I really did because he's the king of the monsters. And I could even give you a whole rant on why he's in, not just because he's a big monster, but just the symbolism of, you know, nuclear holocaust, the fact that he is so endearing to Japan's history because of his, you know,
right.
That he was created from nuclear war, that he was their representation of what we did to them.
Right.
But I thought that's cheating. It's Godzilla. So I went with Kingpin.
That's, solid, solid Marvel villain.
Yeah, Kingpin, I never really appreciated how good he was because he was always just, I always thought he was just a criminal. Here's these guys with amazing powers, and then here's just this guy who's just a criminal who runs everything and never gets caught. And then I realized that's how good he is he doesn't have any abilities, and he's still that good that he's so important to the universe. Because, I mean, Daredevil, Punisher, doesn't he even cross the Heroes for Hire at some point?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, several times.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
I mean, Kingpin is in everything. And then if you didn't like him enough then you had the fantastic portrayal by Michael Clark Duncan in the Daredevil movie, which was amazing. And then if that wasn't enough, you had the fantastic portrayal by Vincent D'Onofrio in the Daredevil series. Kingpin is a very fascinating character.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things, like the only real special ability he ever had, he did have, like, he was stronger than the average human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he could fight Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. If you want, my God, that's why I loved, Michael Clark Duncan as him. Like, my favorite story.
He actually looked intimidating. Oh,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I took Vina to watch it. She didn't know anything about comics. Mm-hmm. And halfway through the movie, he's talking to his bodyguard. She goes, why does he need bodyguards? I'm like, I don't know.
Cause he doesn't like to get his hands dirty.
That's true.
And one of the things, too, is like in the comic books, and they really gloss over it a lot, but like, they always make fat jokes at him. Because he's that huge, just kind of frumpy looking dude.
Mm.
What they always kind of forget to mention is that's not fat. That's pure muscle. It just.
I mean, he is.
Has
a,
that look.
I don't know
of,
if it's pure muscle. It's not
no,
pure
it's supposed muscle. To, it's supposed to be though. Like, cause that's how, like, I don't remember what it was, but something explained it is like, there was like Spider-Man was fighting him and he kept doing like quippy and he's like, no, you don't get it. This is literally, like, this is muscle. That's why I'm about to break you in half.
Well, like, it's the way I've always understood Kingpin is it's kind of like he's more akin to a bear. Like, he's got fat on him. Like, he's a fat guy, but he is also ridiculously muscular.
Yeah. Well, that's why I thought Michael Clark Duncan was the perfect portrayal of him, because if remember him in the suit, he looked big.
Yeah.
Like, he was big, but then when he took that suit off, he was still big, but my God, the muscle in that bigness. Oh.
And I mean, that was Kingpin.
And
like,
Vincent D'Onofrio did a really good job. Like, they did a good job of making Vincent D'Onofrio kind of seem...
He was stock, too.
Bigger, but he always felt bigger than he probably was.
Right.
Like, he's not a small guy, but...
No, but he was definitely bigger in that role. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked bigger.
Yeah.
The way they filmed it, the way he bulked up for it. But I just think Kingpin's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Kingpin's a great villain.
Should we run through the rest of the list or save him for the rest of the show?
I can burn through mine real quick.
Burn through yours real quick, and then I want to get to we did have a couple fans chime in on what they want or what they like, and I want to read those. So
I had a couple X-Men villains. I had Mr. Sinister purely for how cool he looked.
Yes.
I
know
I
nothing of him other than like, Cyclops was the only one that could hurt him in the cartoon.
And I hated him. And I hated him for it.
Yeah.
I hated Cyclops because it's like, you don't get to
that
be the
Boy
one.
Scout.
You don't get to be the one that takes down Mr. Sinister. That name.
Mr. Sinister. It doesn't get more blatant than that other than Magneto's Brotherhood for Evil Mutants. I wonder if they're bad guys.
I also had the Sentinels on mine.
I wanted to put the Sentinels so bad.
I actually thought that was going to be your last one because I know how, because we've
I talked
about. I
thought it was too obvious.
Yeah.
But they are so iconic. Like, just these giant robots.
Right,
that hunt
whose only
down.
Purpose are
so,
to...
They're like giant Terminators coming after you constantly. Yeah.
And the only reason I didn't put them is because they've, other than Days of Future Past, they always were kind of portrayed as just like, they were basically the putties from Power Rangers.
They never did well.
Yeah, they
except no. in the first episode, I think it was the first episode of the anime series, when they killed Morph.
Mm-hmm.
And you found out later Morph didn't die, but he was dead for the longest time, and that was... Jesse, you remember when we found Morph in
I do! Heroes? And he sang that song.
I'm trying to remember how that song goes.
I'm the king of the Mambo beat. I don't remember how it starts, though.
What?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
In the game Marvel Heroes, Morph is a vendor.
And he kind of sounds like this.
Goes full vaudevillain.
Yeah, it's funny.
The only one, I had a couple honorable mentions for Hobgoblin and Green Goblin.
Yes.
So, again, strictly iconic. Based on their 90s cartoon appearance.
I kind of wanted to put Solomon Grundy on my list because I always thought he was awesome.
I always like Solomon
on a
Grundy.
Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. Fell alone Wednesday.
He's such a cool character too. Bizarro is really cool.
Bizarro.
Like, I always liked Bizarro.
Superman has some pretty good villains.
Yeah, Brainiac.
Darkseid. Brainiac. Apocalypse.
Darkseid is great.
See, well, Doomsday. Like, my problem with Superman is all of his villains really kind of felt like, okay, it's Doomsday. It's Darkseid. It's just like big, strong.
Well, they had
hit
to be.
Hard.
Yeah. They had
and then you have Lex
Superman.
Luthor. Which
that's why Luthor is so good. I never realized, again, I never appreciated Luthor until recently. It's like, okay, again, here's a guy going against Superman who's strictly using his intelligence to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to respect it. And plus, it's that Luthor actually is a bad guy,
mm-hmm.
but most of it just comes from his hatred that this
he's
alien
just a hatred of
is
Superman.
Going to save them.
And I will say, too, like, I always hated the idea of Lex Luthor as president. Like, who would actually vote for him? Well,
we did so well.
I also had Riddler on mine because
Riddler's
I love
cool,
me
yeah.
Edward Nygma.
Except when Jim Carrey played him.
The one I will leave for, well, that will probably do on either TV or miscellaneous, but then Parallax was my last one.
I love
because
him as cool.
Just the actual, just the embodiment, right? Elemental
fear
of when the first insect crawled and scared the first, like, thing, the first time an insect was seen, it scared it.
Yeah.
And that produced this giant, just, embodiment of...
I would argue that the only thing that rivals, I've said, that rivals Batman's is X-Men, because I could just think off the top of my head. Obviously, Magneto, we said, Apocalypse, we said, Omega Red, Mr. Sinister, Sabretooth, Silver Samurai.
Juggernaut.
Striker. Mystique.
Mm-hmm.
Mystique was another one that was on my list.
There's so many good X-Men villains that, again, sympathetic. Some are just flat-out monsters. Bolivar Trask.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many good ones.
And then Spider-Man. Like, I love Spider-Man's rogues gallery. I mean, he's got Doc Ock, the Doc Connors.
The best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 with Alfred Molina as Doc Ock.
Oh, yeah, that was
so
great.
Good.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. Yeah, I mean, you can go on with Spider-Man,
and
Mysterio, we mentioned.
And of course, you have, like, Flash with the rogues.
Yeah. See, I mean, trying to convince myself that Flash was, like, I thought, okay, who else? Who could I think of? I thought, okay, what about Flash? Oh, giant gorilla.
Well, okay, so, well.
Gorilla Grodd is awesome.
He is, but he's, in my head, I just think giant gorilla.
To throw back to the Riddler, whenever I thought we were actually gonna do the whole one per franchise rule, I was gonna cheat and use the Riddler, because the Riddler actually got me to buy my first Flash comic book. Because the final arc in the New 52 run before Rebirth was a Riddler arc. Basically, he's like, all right, I'm not beating Batman anytime soon. I can probably outsmart the fast one. And
not
he almost did.
Barry Allen is.
They cheated. Nygma would have owned Coast City.
There are so many cities that these villains could go to instead.
I know. but I like the rogues. I like the rogues because they have a standing agreement with the Flash. They have their own moral code. So you have like, I mean, yeah, Weathered Wizard, Captain Cold, Mirror Master,
Boomerang.
I
like Captain Boomerang.
They like to borrow Captain Boomerang and move him outside of that. But it's like, okay, you are free to try to rob and steal and break in and do all these things, but no killing. And they pretty much agree, like, okay. We won't.
Because yeah, that was a Captain Cold thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except that Captain Cold is still brutal AF. Like, as far as, he doesn't kill people, but I remember one of like the most brutal arcs I ever saw with Captain Cold. He just straight up like, dude, I was like, you freeze things. What's that going to do? He freezes the guy's leg and then kicks it, shatters the dude's leg.
Yep.
Dude is just, at this point, like, he then falls over, of course, screaming, because, yeah, that happened.
But he ain't dead.
He ain't dead.
Congrats.
But, and they did a cool thing with, like, the Injustice League or whatever, the Forever Evil storyline, where they had to very briefly kind of join the Justice League, and now they are trying to do better, so. And that ties in with it ties in with the final Flash arc, but I like that idea of having they have this moral code that they have to, that they themselves choose to follow because they don't have to.
Right.
I mean, they kind of do because Flash is like, This could go a couple ways. If you want to hurt people, you can try it.
See, and that's the thing. Like, with The Flash, the only villains of his that I've ever really actually liked are the speedsters.
Yeah.
Like, Reverse Flash. Zoom, yeah. Yeah, that,
Godspeed.
That is an incredible name.
Yes, it
Godspeed.
Is.
Godspeed. That's awesome.
His debut is literally, like, they come across a crime scene, and, like, who did this? They just, he just said his name was, and then he appears out of nowhere. Godspeed. And it's all done dramatically, and it's one of my favorite images to come out of Rebirth.
I'm gonna look
far.
At that because that sounds awesome.
I'll pull it up for you.
We gotta get out of here. We gotta read these people real quick. I just want to say one last one. Shredder from Ninja Turtles.
He was the one that I was gonna save until the TV.
The second Shredder, because the first Shredder didn't do so well.
Yeah, Super Shredder. And the what I was mentioning earlier, Darth Vader.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the joke I was making.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Vader was pretty.
Because
yeah.
Shredder, just look at him.
Shredder.
He's a samurai ninja covered in knives.
I mean, yeah, and I yeah, let's leave it at that. we can talk about that in the TV movie, whatever. We got a couple here from the gang they wanted to mention. Podzilla 1985 said, because Lindsay doesn't know how to not post
this PZ.
To be fair, it's almost impossible to do on mobile.
It is.
Like, if you're on desktop, there's a nice little button you can click.
She's on desktop. I know she's not on mobile.
Well, I tried. Sorry, you Lindsay.
Tried. hers are really weird. Once she said, so I can use manga, right? I'm like, go for it. That's all it is. She's got Lord Zagato from Magic Knight Ray Earth. I know very little about Magic Knight Ray Earth. Greed from Full Metal Alchemist.
I do like Greed.
That'd be a popular one. Legato from Trigun. Legato. Anyone ever seen Trigun?
Nope.
Yeah.
He's the one that basically forces Vash to shoot him in the head after Vash is like on a non-killing. He doesn't kill people and he forces him to shoot him in the head, thereby crippling him mentally for the rest of the series. It's an incredible moment.
It's another great Joker bit. That he always tries to...
Forcing Batman to force, kill him?
Yeah.
Someday.
Because then he'll win.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean... No, you know who wins when Joker dies?
Gotham.
Yeah. Sailor Galaxia from Sailor Moon Stars. Actually, it's just Sailor Stars, Lindsay. I don't know why you said that. That's a good one. And then The Dark Kingdom, also from Sailor Moon. Kunzite, Zoisite, Nephrite, and Jedite. They're really cool. They have their little Nazi-style uniforms, and that's a whole thing. Aaron Picard... And boy, we had fun listening to Aaron Picard's choices. Jesse, you in particular. Rob Liefeld, which struck a chord.
He is awful.
He is.
Joel Schumacher. But like Hunter said, I think Hunter said this, you can hate Rob Liefeld all you want, but you wouldn't have Deadpool without him.
Well.
He created Deadpool, didn't he?
Well.
Oh, is there a story I don't know?
I mean, he technically, okay, this is what happened. So,
he helped create Deathstroke.
Yeah.
And then he got fired from DC. So he got hired by Marvel and they're like, hey, we need, like, a mercenary. Well, okay, no, actually, I'll help create this guy.
Marvel didn't really... Like, he had an idea for a new character. Mm-hmm. He sent it to his co-writer, because Marvel wanted him to write a book. And this was actually a few years after he had been removed from DC. He sent the character, like, a rough sketch and a rough idea and what he does to who would be his artist, like co-artist slash co-writer on the book. And dude calls him back. I don't remember his name. It starts with an N, I think. Dude calls him back. He's like, you have literally drawn and described Deathstroke from the Teen Titans. And it wasn't like, Rob Liefeld didn't know who the Teen Titans were. He was, like, notably a fan, like, publicly a fan of the Teen Titans, particularly the new Teen Titans, where, yeah, Deathstroke was still a lead villain. So it was one of those things, like, you have literally created Deathstroke. And now instead of saying, oh, yeah, you're right. He just kind of turns into the Skid. They decided to name the character Wade Wilson, and because Wolverine is really popular, they gave him a healing factor.
But he still created Deadpool.
Ish.
He made the character. Now, the character evolved into a better character out of his hands, is what you're saying.
I mean, look up real quick, Google the T-Ray Marvel Comics. Like, T-Ray. If you want to see the character that Liefeld actually created.
Okay, I'm looking up T-Ray right now. This is a great visual gag.
Do you want me to keep going with the fan?
I'm looking at it now. It's basically this giant guy in a coat with a knife.
Yep, that's him.
That's Deadpool?
I've
seen a lot of pictures of him and Deadpool together.
That's who Liefeld created. T-Ray is also Wade Wilson. Basically, what ended up happening after a DC Marvel crossover event... T-Ray or Deadpool was, Wade Wilson was a parody of Deathstroke. And he died in that crossover. And then when the crossover ended and the universe went back to normal, Deadpool was there. But then Wade Wilson showed back up and he was confused that there was Deadpool. So then he became his own character and called himself T-Ray.
Could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Stop saying T-Ray. Every time you say T-Ray, I want to do meth. I feel like he'd deal it to me.
Probably, but no, like Liefeld, basically, like his vision of Deathstroke eventually became Deadpool. Yes.
Jesse Kimmel doesn't like Rob Liefeld.
I don't.
No, because okay. He's bad. Like he's a bad writer. He's a bad artist.
Correct. Correct.
Like we're not taking away his contributions, but.
Well, except just then.
I mean. His one was good.
Like I said, I gave it to that he.
You did a show on this with Marvelous Jesse and Chris, didn't you?
Yeah, about like our least favorite artists.
Because I remember asking you about it back then.
Yeah.
So if you guys get a chance, go back and listen to that. Dig that one up from the crypt. That's an old episode.
That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut. And you can find out more about Jesse's hatred of Rob Liefeld and most people's. And if you hate Rob Liefeld, you'll hate his next pick, Joel Schumacher.
Yep.
Who, to be fair, only did one thing, and that was Batman and Robin. Batman Forever
was okay.
It was okay, but Batman and Robin was an atrocity.
And he did the worst Batman representation ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
More so than Snyder?
Like, yeah. What?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Because, I mean, at least Batman didn't kill people in the Schumacher films.
That's true, but Ben Affleck didn't have nipples on his suit.
Damn it.
So.
Wait, I think Batman may have actually still killed people, didn't he?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know. Stupid. I try not to think. It's been so long since I've seen that movie. Because even as a kid, who liked Turtles 3, hated Batman and Robin.
My dad left the theater fuming at Batman and Robin.
It was terrible. I had dreams about watching it, and then my dreams turned into nightmares. And what I don't understand about Joel Schumacher is he did both The Lost Boys, which is one of my favorite horror films ever, and Phantom of the Opera, which is one of my favorite musicals ever. He also did Batman and Robin, which is the comic book version of AIDS cancer hybrid that I call Cansades.
Cansades! I like it.
Zack Snyder's also on the list. I don't agree with that. Yes, I do. No, I don't. He did Dawn of the Dead, and I really like Dawn of the Dead.
It's true. Like, Batman v Superman was bad, yeah.
Bad, but not as awful as everyone says.
Honestly,
it's not awful.
The fight scenes in that movie were great.
And it gave us Batfleck. Which is just about the best damn Batman you'll ever see.
That's really true.
I feel like we were going to get that anyway.
With Batman? With Affleck?
Yeah.
With the respect he has for the character?
Mm-hmm.
The Trust from 100 Bullets. I've never read 100 Bullets.
I have also never read
The Yagyu
Clan. I started
it,
but it's, yeah.
From Lone Wolf and Cub. I don't know that one. Nope. Grant Morrison during his run in Animal Man. I don't know.
And see, that's what I was trying to figure that out too. Like, is Grant Morrison, cause Grant Morrison is a writer for those that don't know. Like you can also go back and listen to some of those episodes of The Marvelous Jesse and Chris where I talked about how Grant Morrison might be my least favorite popular writer.
So you and Aaron Picard agree on these.
Well.
Magog from Kingdom Come. It's a good choice. And Dr. Doom. There. Someone said Doctor Who. So for you comic fans out there, are you happy now? Hey, J.R. Davis wanted to talk. Did I say stalk? It's the same thing. He said, I can't pronounce this, Jesse.
What's that?
Mr.
Mitzelplix.
Mixie Piddulk.
Mitzelplix. That's how I've always said it. I'm sure it's wrong.
From Superman. That just sounds
the one who you have to get him to say his name backwards.
He
can go up against he's the tiny dude with the tinier hat and he's magic, so that's why he can hurt Superman because Superman is vulnerable to magic.
Zatanna. Love her.
And Shazam.
Mitzelplick.
And Kazam.
Mitzelplick.
The rapping genie. Trigon from Teen Titans.
I like Trigon. That's Raven's papa.
Mm-hmm. Mongol from Superman. Clayface, which is a great choice. I love Clayface as well. Yeah. He's basically Mystique, but
can't
hold
his form.
Yeah, and you can't really market around him because he doesn't look like Jennifer Lawrence. If they got a Hemsworth.
You and literally everyone, like Jesse especially, I need more people to read Detective Comics, this first arc from Rebirth, because Clayface is Basil Carlo is actually
I'm working on it.
He escaped from Arkham and like they find him in a movie theater watching one of his old movies. And he's like, I didn't hurt anybody. I used to be that, and now I'm this. I just needed to remember. And Batman's like, we're offering you a chance to do better. So he's actually like a hero.
He's a good guy now?
Yeah. Oh. And it's the entire Detective Comics run has been amazing.
He also says Dr. Destiny.
Dr. Destiny.
Various, especially Sandman. Neil Gaiman, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And then he has an all-time top five, because he said we wouldn't name these people on our show, and he was right, to be fair. But then he also said Zod, Joker, Darkseid, the Court of Owls, and Ra's al Ghul.
Does the Court of Owls really, like, because I actually thought about that, too, because I really liked that arc. I love the Court of Owls arc.
I love the name Court of Owls. Almost as much as I love a Stop Vaughn of Trash Birds.
Oh,
yeah. oh, my God.
But, yeah, no, the Talon, I guess, would be one you could pick out of that, because the Talons.
You could do Talon. You could do Lincoln March.
Never mind.
But
too
it's,
easy.
Especially because, like, the Court of Owls, that story arc was great, but everything that's happened with them since then has been a disappointment.
Great,
that's
Master. They're on true. Gotham now, aren't they? They're a big part of Gotham mm-hmm. this season. Oh,
they really are.
Okay, moving on. Aaron Picard also wanted to say Todd McFarlane for plunging Miracle Man / Marvel Man in litigation hell. I never really got Todd McFarlane. I recognize Spawn is important, and Bob really likes Spawn. The only thing I really like about Todd McFarlane is he worked with Ultima Online and actually did a lot of character art for a game that got scrapped and then put into Ultima Online. And I have the Ultima figures I have are all Todd McFarlane figures. So I always liked him for that.
Also,
Kingdoms
of Amalur.
He was part of Kingdoms of Amalur. Yeah.
That was really good.
The game that almost bankrupted Rhode Island?
Yeah.
Yep. Delaware?
Mm-hmm. Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, our very own Double H, Hunter Hendricks, said, thinking outside the box, give all five of my picks and two more to the League of Evil Exes from the Scott Pilgrim series. That's a good choice, especially only if you consider Brandon Routh as...
Superman?
Well, no, in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
As the vegan.
Also Chris Evans as...
the action star.
The action star, yeah.
And the guy that played Matthew Patel. Actually, yeah, that entire... Let's watch that movie.
I love that movie. So good.
All right, so we're going to cut it off there because we had an hour and a half.
Jeez.
Yup. So thank you for enduring or listening to this
episode. Top five next week. We're going to do five.
We did three.
See, but there's only about three of us next time.
Maybe. I don't know. People, literally, all right, I am not being sarcastic. People are literally begging to be on this show this month. We usually have people saying, hey, can I be on the show sometime? Sure, maybe we'll see. People are begging us to be on this month's show of Villains Month.
That's I was cool. asked.
Ha!
Yeah, he was.
Take that, Anthony. So next week, I think we're going to do movies.
Sure.
Movies?
We didn't have a set list. Yeah.
Next week we're going to do movies. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because
I'm excited for your list mostly.
Oh.
Because like I know what mine are going to be already, but
Baby
you're...
Bird feeding next week. All right. That's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank Allie, Jesse, and Asa, of course. And then Billy, welcome back. Again, visit Villainous Grounds in Perryville. Get you some coffee and some comic books. Come back next week for the next episode of Villains Month here in October. And then stay tuned for tomorrow's Pro Wrestling Unscripted and then Terrifying Tanner Thursday on Thursday. It's going to be a great time. Thank you guys for listening. Allie. Take us out.
I'm tired.
I don't like that one. Jesse, take us out. Billy, come here and take us out quickly. Quickly, Billy. No, okay, Billy's out.
I got you. Mr. Zazz.
Oh, I do love Zazz.